my Christmas growing up in my family. We had certain traditions in our home, as I'm sure you have certain traditions in your home. We had an artificial tree. Every year, we put up the same tree. Now, I understand from my family of origin that artificial trees must gather a lot of dust sealed inside boxes all year long, because it was tradition in our house to give the tree a bath every year. And somehow this got to be my job. So I'd take the tree out of the box and put it in the bathtub and give it a good soak. And it'd be kind of a little wet as we put it up and all that sort of thing. We'd use the same decorations, the same angel on the top of the tree, the same reused crinkled tinsel every year. We would eat the same food. It was always turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and corn and Jell-O salad. That sounds pretty good right now, eh? Yeah. For some of you, it's still coming, right? Yeah, maybe tomorrow. But this was the same thing year after year after year. But the one thing that changed in our house, as I'm sure it changes in yours, what is the one thing at Christmas that always changes year after year? The gifts. That's right. You never knew what you were going to get. I was always so happy to get Lego. And in 35 years, not much has changed. Still happy to get Lego. We have all heard tonight the story of the wise men, the magi, the astronomers from the east. And we have heard how they came and they brought gifts to Jesus. Now, according to scholars, Jesus might have been as old as 2 years by the time these wise men showed up, and which would have made Jesus a toddler. Now, I want you to just picture for a second Jesus as a toddler. And this toddler gets told, there's a bunch of strangers coming, they want to see you. How would toddlers react to that? They'd probably cry. I mean, I know that according to some of our songs, Jesus isn't supposed to cry, but that might have made him cry. If that didn't make him cry, the gifts that they gave him certainly would have. Think about it. They gave him a rock and 2 samples from their essential oil collection. What's a toddler supposed to do with that? Poor kid. What a ripoff. I hope they at least wrapped it in bubble wrap or something. Gave him something to do. Maybe a nice box or something. And because of this incident, we continue to give gifts at Christmas time. It's a wonderful tradition. It's good to be generous. When Jesus was an adult, he talked about the original gift at Christmas. And he put it this way. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's a beautiful verse, kind of sums up the gospel in a nutshell. Long before Jesus, though, came a gift. And if you're thinking, oh, I know where you're going with this, Pastor. I know Jesus was the original gift. We got it. Yeah. I've heard this 1,000 times. Thank you. Let Christmas start now. Thank you. Okay. The original gift, though, was not Jesus. Look at that verse very carefully. What was the original gift at Christmas? God's love. Was the gift that he gave to everyone. He gave that gift to those who ignored him, to those who shook their fists at God, to those who rejected God, to those who spoke ill of God, to those who called him imaginary, to those who doubted his existence, to those who said they didn't need God. He offered them this gift, the gift of his love. For God loved the world so much. Jesus was the message of this gift. He was the display of this gift. But receiving this gift and receiving love in general is hard for us humans. Have you ever noticed that? We humans often struggle with receiving love. And God's love is no exception. And Jesus told this amazing story about how difficult it is to receive God's love. He told this great story about two brothers. You might know it as the story of the prodigal son or the wayward son. But for those of you who've never heard the story, let me refresh your memory. A loving father had two sons, an older son and a younger son. And the younger son decided he wanted his inheritance right now. He didn't want to wait until his father died. He wanted all that was coming to him. So this loving father gave this younger son his inheritance. This young man took this inheritance, and he went to a distant country. He went to a foreign country. Maybe he was in Cabo. I don't know. Went to Cabo, and he blew it all. Drinking, women, parties, what have you. He just blew the whole thing until there was nothing left. And then he thought, you know, I might need money somewhere along the way. So he decided to get a job. And the only job that he could find was a job feeding pigs. And as he's feeding the pigs, he's thinking, you know that stuff I'm feeding the pigs? It started to look like creme brulee to him. Like filet mignon. He started thinking, this is pretty good stuff. He thought, but you know, the servants in my father's house live better than this. He said, I think I'm going to go back to my dad, and I'm going to say, please take me back. I have royally messed up, but don't take me back as your son. I just want to be a servant. If I can just work in your house for the rest of my life and live as a servant, I'll be happy. So as he starts making his way back from Cabo, he's making his way back to his loving father. He's rehearsing this speech about how he had messed up and how he just wanted to be a servant, and he wasn't worthy of being a son anymore. What he didn't know was that all along, his loving father was looking for him. Kept looking at the horizon, waiting for his son to come home. And one day, there he was. This young man comes up over the distant hill, and he did what was so uncouth in that culture. He picked up the hem of his garment, and he ran towards his son. And before his son could even get out his rehearsed speech, the dad grabs him and hugs him and kisses him repeatedly. And then he gives him the full rights of a son. And then he tells his entire household, he says, come, kill the fattened calf. It's time to party. My son who was lost has now come home. I'm so happy. Come, everyone. Come and celebrate. So thrilled that his son had come home. And so everyone in the household gathered inside and they started to party. It was a wild event. Well, almost everyone came in. You see, the older brother stayed outside. The older brother stood outside and he was angry. The loving father left the party and came out and said, son, why don't you come on in? We're partying here. And the older son said, I have worked for you all these years. I've done everything that you asked me to do. And you've never thrown a party for me. But this brother of mine, he comes home and you throw him a wild party? Where's my party? Where's my stuff? two brothers, both of them had a loving father. And neither of them received that love. They reacted in two different ways. The younger brother, if this was a Christmas present, he shook that box and he said, "This is not enough. There's got to be more. I think my father's holding out on me. I've got to go explore the world. I've got to go see what there is out there. I want to experience life. I want to go and do whatever it is I want to do." So off he went to go do whatever he wanted to do, and he rejected a relationship with his loving father. The older son also rejected the love of his father. He thought he shook that box, that Christmas present. He shook that box and he said, "This is too much. I need to earn this." And he started to work for it. And he tried to be the best son he could possibly be. He did everything that he was supposed to do. But meanwhile, it wasn't that he wanted a relationship with his dad. He was using his dad. He wanted the benefits of having a relationship with his dad without actually having a relationship with his dad. Both sons rejected the love of their father. And the amazing thing in this story for me, one of the cool things, is with both the older brother and the younger brother, it was the father who went to them. He went to them. Isn't that cool? As we reflect on Christmas, I believe that many of us in this room struggle to accept our Father's love. I know, because at times I do. And often our Father's love is the gift that is left under the tree. If we were really honest, we could maybe see ourselves in one of the two boys. We could see ourselves either drifting to one way and saying, "I'm rejecting my father's love. I just want to go do whatever I want to do." Or we might go the other way and say, "You know what? I'm going to serve you. I want all the benefits. You know, I want my prayers answered. I want to be healthy. I want to find a good spouse. I want to get a great job. I want all the benefits of knowing you without actually knowing you." How do you react to the gift of your father's love? We tend to go and one direction or the other, sometimes both at the same time. In a manger 2,000 years ago was a message of God's love. How do you react to that message? Some of you in this room have realized that God's not holding out on you. And you have humbly accepted, kind of like the younger son at the later part, where he humbly received the Father's love, and you realized that it is more than enough. It is amazing. It is life-changing. And you don't need everything this world has to offer. And you also realize you can't possibly earn it. You can't possibly be good enough to earn your Father's love. And yet he offers it to us. Have you received your loving Father's love yet? How are you doing with that? Christmas is a result of the original gift. And the original gift was not Jesus. Jesus is the message of that love, message of the gift. But God's love, our Father's love, he gave to us. Regardless of what we've done, who our parents are, where we were raised, what we do for a living. He gives us that love. Isn't that amazing? Right now, your Heavenly Father is offering you His love. Right now, do you sense that? Do you sense your Father talking to you in this room right now? Do you hear Him? He's talking to you. He's saying, come closer. Come closer. There's always more. Jesus made a relationship with the Father possible through the cross. And the question is, will you receive this love? Some of you, maybe for the first time, some of you tonight are realizing you have been one of those sons. You have spent your life as one of those sons. You may have been the younger son who's done everything you wanted to do, and yet there's an emptiness there. Something is just missing. You might have been the older son. You've gone to church all your life. You've been a good Christian. Good for you. Meanwhile, you're kind of hoping that God will answer your prayers a little more, and you'll have a little bit more in the bank account, and God will sort of bless your life a little bit more than that guy down the street. You know who I'm talking about. And either direction, we do not accept our Father's love that He gives freely, regardless of our behavior. My hope that is that tonight you are hearing your Father's voice, and that you will, as the younger son did later on, just receive that love. And know that your Father cares about you deeply. He thinks about you constantly. Yeah, you. That's right, you. Not just the person sitting next to you or in front of you. He loves you. Isn't that amazing? Let's go back to where we started. For God loved the world. That's you and me so much that He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God keeps offering us His love, and we sometimes struggle so much to receive it. I came across a video that I think sums this up very well as to how our Father may feel. We're going to watch that video now.
It's been a while since we talked. That's the way it is with your kids, though, right? They never talk as much as you'd like.
Used to. They'd hang on every word, every story, every joke, every little song. We had some times. Some amazing times. But then they got a little older, a little wiser is how one of them put it. And he said he knew he didn't know everything, but he knew enough to know that my ways, my values, my philosophies on life were a little too, well, basically they wanted their freedom. They're my kids. I gave them what they wanted. Little by little, I watched them change. Push back against things I taught them, lose heart. You know, they tried so hard to steer clear of me. I wanted nothing more than to have things right between us. So I kept doing things. Sent letters, called, left voicemail. I even sent messages through friends. Nothing. No response. Whether it was that they thought the distance between us was too great, or they were ashamed. You know, doesn't matter. You know, when they were little, I used to tell them over and over again, I love you, no matter what. Got to be a thing between us. I would say, I love you, and they'd finish it, no matter what. They heard it so often that sometimes they just roll their eyes when I said it. But I wanted to make it so clear to them that there was nothing they could do to make me stop loving them. And that thing I said, it's never stopped being true. So I'm packing up and I'm going to them. Not bringing any presents. Just a gift of making things right. There's nothing that'll separate me from my kids. Not the past, not the future. Nothing. Nothing. I'm forgetting about all the stuff in the past. And the relationship we used to have? Well, we're going to have a new relationship. After this trip, things will never be the same with us. That's a good thing. New beginnings. That's what I'm all about. That's my plan for this Christmas. A new beginning with my kids.
As the music team comes on up, going to sing another Christmas carol, going to get the ushers to come forward at this time, and they are going to light candles, and they are going to come down the aisles, and they are going to pass that flame down each aisle, symbolic of the light of Christ. And hopefully you've all received a candle. If you haven't received a candle, just put your hand up, and our usher will get you one. We want everyone to be part of this. This is a tradition around here. And I'm going to get you to stand as our ushers come forward. And just hold on to your candle, and I'll tell you to blow it out later. Let's sing this song together.